We want to come to God in prayer this evening. Thank you. I'd like to read some verses from Matthew chapter 6. And we read from verse 7. When you pray, don't babble on and on. Well, it says here, as people of other religions do. I'm not sure about that. As the pagans do. They didn't have a word religion in the first century that meant that. Okay, don't babble on as the pagans do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. Because your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored, may your kingdom come, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our food for today and forgive our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Strong words there from our Lord, telling us what we need to do as we come to pray together. Jesus here is giving instruction about prayer as we come together. It's not obvious in English, but the verses before are instructions for when we pray on our own. And Jesus tells us to go into the cupboard or whatever, where nobody can see us, and go and pray and don't make a big deal about it. Don't do it to be seen by people. But he is also telling us to come together and to pray, although, again, we don't make a big deal of it. We don't try and show off about how holy we are or anything like that. He tells us to pray to our Father in heaven, and he's already just told us that our Father in heaven knows what we need even before we ask. We are coming to somebody who loves us. There is a big difference between so-called magic and prayer. Magic is about saying the right form. Not that I'm saying that all this stuff is real, but that's the way magic supposedly works, isn't it? You say the right spell, you do the right thing, you wave your wand the right way, and stuff happens. It's not about that, prayer. It's not about getting the right formula or the right set of words. It's about coming to our Father. And Jesus will go on shortly after these verses to tell us, your Father in heaven longs to give you good things. So there's our first lesson from this passage in terms of prayer tonight. It's our Father we're talking to. He wants to hear what we've got to say. And he cares about what we want to say. Just like a good human father or mother will always be interested in what their children have to say. And then the next line, hallowed be your name, or here, may your name be honored. The precise word here is, the way it's phrased is almost impossible to get exactly into English. But really what it's saying to God is, do stuff so that your name will be honored. That's what it means. We're asking God to take action so that people will honor him, or so that people will hallow his name. And that word hallow is a form of the word for holy. So we're asking God to do something to make his name stand out, to make his name seem different from every other name within the world. Jesus said that's the first thing to be praying for, because that's what the church exists to do. The church exists to give glory to God. We were thinking about how we go about doing that this morning. But certainly one way we go about it is by praying, God, honor your name. And within this church, we want what happens in this church to to bring honor to the name of God. We want people to look at us and to see God through us. Now, it's obvious we can't do that on our own. You know, I can't walk down the street and say, look at these people, they're like God. It takes God to do something amongst us. So we pray for God to take action so that his name will be honored. And of course, not just through us, but all around in our community, all across the world. Lord, let your name be honored. That's what we want to happen. And then your kingdom come. And the kingdom of God, the rule of God, for God to bring his rule onto the earth. We pray for the kingdom to come on earth as in heaven. Christianity is not about going to heaven when you die. Christianity is about the kingdom of God coming to the earth. Our final hope is the return of Christ, and a new heaven and a new earth on which we will be dwelling. But we're praying, Lord, increase your rule now. So Jesus, the whole message of the Sermon on the Mount, of which this is part, is that the kingdom is coming. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for because they live for God. The kingdom of heaven is yours, it is theirs. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you, says Jesus. This sermon is a manifesto for the kingdom. It's Jesus gathering a group of people together and telling them how to advance the kingdom of God within this earth. So we pray, because the kingdom will only come if God takes action. We are here to advance that kingdom. And of course, we're looking forward to the great final day when the kingdom establishes fully. But we don't hang around and wait for that day, to pray for the advance of the kingdom now. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying that God's will be done. Well, that's what the kingdom of God looks like. That isn't really a new prayer. And again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is spelling out what that kingdom looks like. It's a place where those who mourn will be comforted. It's a place where those who are meek will inherit the earth. It's a place where those who are hungry for justice within the world will see justice and they will receive that justice. It's a message. It's a kingdom for those who need mercy, that God will be merciful to them. It's a kingdom in which people who have single-minded lives will see God. It's a kingdom where those who work for peace will be recognized as the children of God. And so we could go on. Of course, when we say to the Lord, your will be done, we aren't just asking God to do something. We're asking him to change us, so that we will do things. And forgive us it's literally in Matthew's gospel, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I was brought up in Scotland, where that's how they say the Lord's Prayer. It's debts and debtors in Matthew, and it's trespasses in Luke. The version that we tend to pray is a bit of a mixture of the two versions. But forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And as we come to pray, we are to get rid of any sense that anybody owes us anything, that we have no right to demand from other people. God cancels our debt, doesn't he? We believe in Jesus and he cancels it, and he says, that's in the past. Come and have a good relationship with me. Come and let's start where we are, and we will move forward. And Jesus won't let us, and he emphasizes that bit after he finishes the prayer that he gave us. He won't let us just say, Lord, forgive my sins. That prayer is not allowed. Well, you can try it. But the correct prayer is, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And note that since this is for corporate prayer, it's not about me coming here today and saying, Lord, forgive my debt. Now, that prayer's not right either. It's, Lord, forgive our debts. Yeah? So if I pray for forgiveness for me tonight, The deal is I have to pray for forgiveness for every one of you as well. That's the way that it works. As I've been trying to say sort of on Sunday mornings, you know, being a church is not so much about what I achieve. It's about what we achieve. It's not so much what God does in me. It's what God does in us. We're designed, we're meant to grow together as God's people. It's not about some people growing more than others. It's about us all growing together. So we pray for our debts to be forgiven and for God to forgive us. And do not lead us into temptation, or don't lead us into testing, but deliver us from the evil one. Forgive us, but protect us from the one who's going to cause us trouble. You know, Jesus makes it clear, it's even in the Sermon on the Mount, the evil one is out to get us, but we are to pray for protection from him. And whenever we seek to do God's work, the evil one will be there, ready to put a spoke in the wheel, to trip us up, whatever picture it is you want to use. He will be there to mess up whatever God wants to do. And therefore, the prayer for protection is really important, that God won't lead us into a place where the devil is out to get us. And he warns us later on in the Sermon on the Mount that the evil one likes to do his work through people, and there will be people who will try to lead us astray. And we need to pray for protection, that that will not happen to us. So tonight we are going to pray. We're going to sing...